Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm on or not.
I don't think you're on.
Anybody?
Is he on?
Hello.
Yeah, you're on.
Hey, look at that.
Ahoy,
the Wheatstone got unplugged again. The talent station. Oh, there I go. I can hear myself.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, the Wheatstone talent station. It's a little temperamental.
Apollo?
Come in. The landing gear is down. SpaceX got scrubbed today.
I saw that.
Yeah, and a little crosswind or something.
Were you excited about that?
Some cloudy clouds.
Can I tell you my emotion when I was watching that?
I like how you asked me and then immediately went into. Can I tell you? Yes, you can tell me.
Yeah, I don't want to hear your answer.
No.
I want to talk.
Sure.
No, mine was fear.
Really?
Yeah.
Just civilian spacecraft?
Challenger.
Sure.
I have PTSD from Challenger because we haven't done many of these since.
Well, and you've had Columbia and several others.
Yeah.
So I read, I told you for a while there, I got trapped in a rabbit hole of space travel. Like, ended up reading Buzz Aldrin's autobiography, and then I read a book on the history of NASA, just our space program. And they were talking about the space shuttle, and I don't remember the exact number, but it's something absurd to the tune of, it's like 3,000 or 4,000 moving parts, right? Critical parts that if any one of those fail, kaboom. there's that level of everything has to go okay. And so we've talked about this on the show before, but statistically speaking, I think it's like one out of every 26 or 27 space shuttle launches is supposed to statistically end in catastrophic failure. And most of the time, catastrophic failure means, well, kaboom. And that is terrifying. So this idea of whether it's SpaceX or any other time, and we haven't sent someone up in years and years. I mean, it's been a decade plus.
2011, right?
Yeah. Is it 2011? So not quite a decade?
Well, they retired the space shuttle in 2011.
Okay. It's been a while. But yeah, those missions, like when something goes wrong, that's not that abnormal. It's not like, oh my God, I can't believe it happened. It's more like, well, that happens.
Well, I guess they know what they're getting into, right?
Sure. Yeah.
The Challenger was particularly tough because you just had a little old innocent Krista McAuliffe up there.
And we were all watching it, right? I mean, everyone was like in school and it was still a big deal. And I told you that.
Why was that one so much? Why was that such a bigger deal than all the others? The Challenger.
I think they were trying. That was kind of the rebirth of the space program, because for a while after the Apollo, obviously the early Apollo missions were huge. I mean, those were national events. And by the end of them, they even stopped broadcasting them, and it just become kind of space, whatever. And so that was kind of
what it was.
And so this was kind of a rebirth of it. And you, like you said, you had the school teacher on there, and it was kind of going to be this big moment, and it didn't end well. And then when I got down that rabbit hole, that's what I learned. Like, when you see the explosion, there's an idea out there. I think it's the actual thought that killed them, right? The explosion, and it didn't. They were alive after that. So not only did they have the horrific explosion, but they were alive when that thing went down.
Do you know what NASA stands for? Because I do.
that's your big hot NASA fact?
Need another 7 astronauts.
Boy, that's...
That's terrible.
That's awful.
I tell you what, though. I remember back in the day... Because okay, I remember everything about the Challenger.
Yeah.
I remember where I was in grade school.
Back in the day now.
Metal Arc Ridge Elementary School in Salina, Kansas. I remember going into the library to watch it, and they rolled in the big TV on the, you know, on the roller thing, you know? Yeah. And they set it in the front of the class, and then you're like, hey, watch this.
Yep.
And we're like, ah, cool. And then it's like, what happened? And then you go through all the emotions. But then over the next several months and years... Mm-hmm. There were a lot of Space Shuttle Challenger jokes.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Really uncomfortable.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
There were a ton of them because we were right in that age group where it's like you don't really have.
I remember in my sympathy
or anything. You just tell jokes.
Yeah. Riverview Elementary, they did a big mural of it on, I don't know, like not.
Of jokes? Jeez.
No.
Seems rude.
They did a big mural of it, and it was not uncommon for people to go and you know, take the Sharpie and.
Write a little shuttle joke.
And write a little shuttle joke on there. In fact, if I'm remembering correctly, I believe Mr. Seagram, who was our principal from Sri Lanka, by the way, I don't know why he sticks out in my head, but we had to have an assembly about maturity and, you know, that sort of thing.
Ah, yes, the impromptu assembly.
Yeah, we had to get together and be like, hey!
This is for everyone.
Knock it off!
Not just Sukanik.
Yes.
Yeah, there were a lot of jokes, but yeah, so all I know is... I watched the Challenger and it was horrifying. And I got up today, I was watching the news for the first time in a while and they were talking about it. And Al Roker was on there with his blue glasses saying it's not going to happen because, well,
weather. Yeah.
And I was happy. I was relieved because I just thought for sure, especially because Elon Musk is partially behind
it. He's involved.
So it's NASA teaming with SpaceX, which is Elon Musk's company. So it's the first time we've put US astronauts into orbit since the space shuttle, and it's the first time a private company has done it ever.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, come on.
There's a lot of...
It was going to be bad.
Well, it's one of those things, though, is that you've got... you're basically sitting on a bomb that has all these moving parts that if one of them goes wrong, it blows up, and it's put together, you know, of parts from the cheapest bidder, right? Like, we farm out those parts. It's not as if, like, the, you know, all quality control and... Yeah, you know, it's a dicey thing. And if you ever want to read something, the guys that had the ultimate balls, like if you want to say these guys were the bravest dudes ever.
Thank you.
Go look at the early days of the space program. Mm. Go look at the early days of that where.
Just jumping in a spacecraft and
you know, there is more technology in your phone, right? Than in the computers that were in those early rockets that were launching people into space. And they just. They're just strapping their ass in there and being like, well, let's see what happens. You know, hey.
So there were two U.S. guys that were supposed to go up today. They're in their late 40s, early 50s. They've been up via the space shuttle before.
Yeah.
But I guess I was reading about it. They were saying that since the space shuttle got grounded, or the space shuttles got grounded, by the way, did you ever see the video of them cruising the space shuttle through LA to its hangar where it was going to rest?
No.
Oh my God. So it was cool because you got to see how big the space shuttle truly is when it's going down like on tankers, like down streets.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, I think that thing's one of them's in LA. Anyways, what was I saying? We've been using, so to get our Americans up there to the International Space Station
the Ruskies, right?
Since the space shuttle retired, we've been using Russian spacecraft launching from Kazakhstan.
Yeah. Again.
And now see, so somebody already said, hey, that can't be good, right? Or whatever. Well, what makes you think that, dude, the last one we had blew into bits. What makes you think the Russians are any worse than what we've put up there?
Well, the fact that, like, if you...
You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
We always think, oh, yeah, American, oh, whoa, I would never go on a Russian, but the American built one. Yeah, the American built one, blew a teacher into space,
well,
literally.
Actually, again, everyone's Challenger, you need to, the Space Shuttle Columbia.
The Columbia, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one, and it was on the cover of, like, Time magazine, and it's in the air, and you can see the photograph of it, and it looks like a meteor, right? It's just this.
Oh, that one too.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So why do we think that the Russian ones are so bad?
Yeah. So that was just, you know.
So we're catching like basically space Uber.
I think the point of it is the Russian space program has its own sketchy past. Well, they won't admit to it. The Russians lie about it. So there's this whole thing, like when we had the race to the moon, right? There was this idea that the Russians were so far ahead of us, but the Russians would never talk about their failures. But there's this whole thing where if you, again, want to go down the rabbit hole, look into it. They have all these like Russian cosmonauts, like this photo of their space program. And when they would blow up and disappear, they just would like airbrush them out of like photographs and never speak of them. It was just like, what are you talking about? He was never in the space program. Like, what happened to him? We're like, well, we don't know. He was never here. They just kind of erased people from existence. And
that's how we operate now.
And wouldn't talk about their failures. They're like, yeah, that didn't happen.
We've taken a lot of cues from Russia now.
They're like, what? Yeah, what are you talking about? No one died. You fool. But I think the idea is the some of the planes in Russia, like their safety standards are not necessarily on par with the rest of the world. Like they have, remember the hockey team that went down a handful of years ago? Like that plane would have not been allowed to fly in most developed countries. But like in Russia, they're like, oh yeah, get this hockey team on there and fly it. So safety standards and quality control, I think.
Yeah,
people
but
there's
still ingenuity.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
yes, you're correct in the
idea. If it's faulty,
that
it can pass all the safety standards you want, but yes, it's going to go kaboom.
Because to your point, yes, we supposedly have the best space program in the world, and we punted on it.
Blow stuff we were so bad at it. Two of them blew up, and so we were like, yeah, we'll ride with the Russians.
Yeah. Well, but not anymore. Now we can ride with Elon Musk.
He was out there. Yeah. He was super nervous. I saw an interview with him where he was like, he was talking to the wives of the guys that were getting ready to go up there.
Yeah.
And he was like, look, we've done everything we can to keep them safe. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, I was looking up the,
sorry about your husbands,
the launches of the Space Shuttle Columbia, which is the last big catastrophic failure we had. And so it flew 28 missions. And cause what did I say? Like it was like one out of every 26 or 27, 28 missions. And if you look up Wikipedia, it's kind of freaky because it has like launch pad and then landing location. And then under landing location on January 16th, 2003, it just says did not land.
DNL.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoops. And it's
whoops is right.
Yeah. That's one
DNL.
Of those. Yeah.
It's like Tim Duncan, DNP, old.
I wonder like how many the Challenger flew. So with 28, we had the failure with the Columbia. I want to see what we had for the Challenger.
Mike's telling me to break. That would be on time.
Hot space talk.
Yeah, well, we were supposed to have the launch today, but it didn't happen.
So to answer your question, I was mildly interested in it. Just because, again, not that I'm any sort of like aficionado or anything. I just, over the years, I am kind of, I've kind of gotten fascinated by the whole idea of space travel and not even necessarily exploring space because we don't really do a whole lot of that. It's just the idea of everything it takes to get there and all just that, just to get there. That is to me one of the most amazing accomplishments in human history.
Who do you trust more of the three that are really working on this? And I'm sure there are more, but the ones that I know of, the US government, Bezos, or Elon? who are you gonna put your money on?
Honestly, I'd probably say Musk because he seems the one that's most into it.
Well, Bezos is really into it.
See, I haven't
like that's his baby.
I haven't seen a lot of that.
Yeah, he's got a whole thing. I forget what they call it, blue something.
He just won't shut up. Or Elon.
He's
Musk
just not as. I don't think he's as far. I think Elon Musk is further ahead. I think has been doing it longer. I'm not sure, but Bezos, that's his bad boy too. Okay. Well, he wants to get up there.
Well, supposedly it's...
We could have dueling spacecraft.
Well, it's a whole thing, right? There's
an idea
shooting
at each other as they go up.
We want to go to Mars and we want to get back to the moon. And well, we got Space Force now, so...
Yeah, that's right.
I mean...
Space Force, guys. What a time.
So I'm guessing if you're saying who I should have faith in, I'm going to
go Force.
Right to...
U.S. government?
The U.S. government simply because of Space Force.
All right, well...
Not someone who names their daughter. Because I 12.
By the way, the Challenger...
Change her name?
I don't know.
Yeah, they had to change... Well,
they changed it.
They changed the spelling of it because California won't let you use, non-letters and numbers. So it's the same name. They just had to change the way they spelled it. By the way, the Challenger only made it to 10 missions.
Okay.
So 28 for the Columbia and 10 for the Challenger.
Based on your earlier fact of, what'd you say, one in every 26
It's like one in every 20-something. There is
Isn't that a pretty good number?
28 for the Columbia.
28 for Columbia. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
One in 10, not good.
Not good.
Okay.
But anyway.
But let's not look at the Russian numbers, because we couldn't trust them anyway.
Yeah, that's
They'd be like, oh, yeah, this spacecraft. Oh, yeah, it's been up there 100 times.
Yeah, they won't admit that anything blew up. All I know is if you strap me into that thing.
Aren't the Chinese up there too?
Yeah.
Aren't they the only one, other ones that went up there?
Well, and France has has a program. And all I know is if you strap me into that thing and was like, hey, we're going to launch you with these giant rockets. And let's all even double the odds. Or say, hey, you got a 1 in 50 chance of something going really wrong. Who's doing that? Let alone 1 in 20 something. No, no, under no circumstances. You couldn't pay me enough money to get in that thing horizontally with my little spacesuit on that's not going to protect me from anything and be like, hey, we're going to wildly coyote your ass up into the atmosphere.
That's not the type of courage Krista McAuliffe had.
No, she's much, much, much braver than me. Either that or maybe can I say that I'm more sensible because I
wouldn't get in there either.
I'm not doing that.
Give it. How many years you got to give it before it's like, all right.
I'll tell you what.
500.
You have one that launches 100 plus times without something blowing up.
Isn't it due then?
Damn it. I figure after 100, I'm going to be like, all right.
How about 5?
No.
It gets up there 10.
No. Like when you go to the fair, right, and there's that big bungee ride. Like you strap yourself into that sphere and then it bungees you up and down.
No, I won't.
Those are horrible.
If you watch that.
And why is that fun?
I don't know.
But I like adrenaline rides, but I'm not going on that.
Well, imagine if you got in that thing and you watched it 30 times and you just kept watching it every 30 times, that thing snapped and went off into the distance. Who the hell?
And the person dies.
Yes. Who is doing this? Who is like, yeah, let's do this for all mankind? No.
Yeah, you're right.
I think you're forgetting about one great space program, Suk. Mexico.
Mexico's a space
program? They put a whale on the moon.
What?
It's a South Park reference.
Movie. Oh. Oh, South Park. Yeah.
It's like Mexico has a space program?
They put a whale up there?
Wow. How about
Why
that?
A whale?
Like a baby beluga?
It seemed too big to transport.
Dogs and chips.
There's a whole episode about it.
Strap the whale to the space shuttle?
Yeah. See what happens? Something tells me the
It's like Free Willy, but into space.
Burning up into the atmosphere. That's not going to be so good.
All right, good times. Well, let's get started.
Sports?
I've got two 1080 The Fan station announcements.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The same day.
We got big news.
Yeah, we'll get to those next, and the fan personality poll question series continues. So 317, this is The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
So to finish up real quick, the space shuttle talk here, because I was talking about like the 1 in 20 whatever were the odds. So I was Googling that for confirmation, and I found this article from 2011 that I guess Reagan, after the Challenger disaster, ordered a review of it to see what exactly had happened in the odds. And they were saying that now that study kind of got buried, but it's been released now and it's been out. And they say those early days of the space shuttle, so the Challenger days, 1 in 10 were the odds. Yeah. So that thing was meant to go 5 years. And if you did that, the number of launches it had to make it through the lifespan of that shuttle, what it was supposed to go, you had a 6% chance of making it through the life of the Challenger without it blowing up. 6%. And by the way, they didn't make it through.
I love how they never told us that.
I know.
You're just a little kid, like
hey, this
sitting
is
in front of the TV, like, oh, can't wait. This is going to be great.
Well, did someone tell the teacher? Did someone tell the astronauts? Hey, by the way, we've been looking into this, 1 in 10, and every time you go up, those odds get worse and worse. So just saying.
When did that start? The 70s? The 80s? Early 80s?
Early 80s, I think, was when the space shuttles, the modern space shuttles.
Like 30 years before they shut her down?
Yeah. And that was one of the reasons why they just deemed it too risky. You can't keep once people
also very expensive.
Yeah, really expensive, and there wasn't, you weren't really getting anything out of it. And once people started to be like, asking questions, excuse me, how many times is this thing going to blow up? Maybe we actually took a look at the odds and we're like, yeah, you can't keep doing
that. You also
that.
Have the criticism, you know, like it's the government, right? It's the feds. They're supposed to be working for us.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have it in the private sector, you know, something goes wrong. I mean, it's on them, right?
Yes.
Like the criticism, I don't know, you're almost held to a higher standard when you're the government trying to do it.
But at the same,
as opposed to Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos.
But if you're Elon, but the government can get away with it, because if Musk and Bezos start killing astronauts the way what NASA did on the early rocket programs, the Apollos and then the Challengers, Bezos and Musk are getting sued and they're not going to continue working. Whereas the government kind of shrugs it off and is like, well, you know, hey, this
let's
is,
try another one.
Yeah, just keep doing it.
Whoops.
Yeah, something tells me if you have over the, you know, 10 or 15 years of Musk and Bezos blow people up, they're not going to keep sending them up.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. But certainly their liability is protected in some ways. I just think that the private sector can probably get further.
Yeah.
You know, they have less eyes on them.
Isn't that terrifying though? The early day, 1 in 10.
It's horrible.
It's just, and I wonder if
it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why even go?
Did anyone let them know? That's what I want to know. Did they fully understand? Because there is a debate on whether or not those people that were getting in the Challenger or the Columbia had a real solid understanding of what the numbers were.
Here's our poll question today. It's at 1080thefan.com, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. This is a part, once again, this week of the fan personality series of poll questions. Yesterday, we asked you which fan personality is most like you. And while I did not ever click in to find out the final results of that, I can tell you at last check, Dusty Hera was leading that poll question.
The everyman.
Well, the everyman.
Dusty is kind of an all-American sort of aw shucks.
He relates to a lot of people.
There was like 4 people around 20% that I saw.
Well, his name is Dusty, right? Like
he's all-American.
Yes.
He wears a shirt with a bald eagle and an American flag on it.
Yeah. Well, can't you see Dusty years from now, once the Coke problem is solved? I could see Dusty running for like Congress or something.
Totally.
Right? I could see him like in some cargo pants and doing a Jeff Merkley thing, wearing a hard hat and being like, I'm the everyman. Man, I'd vote for Dusty. He's a sensible fellow.
Today, the question is as follows, and I believe there's only one right answer to this. And you can find this at 1080thefan.com. It's just on right at the top of the page, just under the new big news that we're announcing here in a minute.
Yeah.
Which fan personality is most likely to pretend he's texting when really taking a selfie?
What?
What?
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what? Like a gym selfie or whatever?
Which fan personality is most likely to pretend he's texting when really taking a selfie?
Sprague.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
And I told him that. I passed him in the hall coming in. He was like, hey, I really like the question today. I'm like, yeah, you know, I think you're going to win this. He's like, what? He goes, yeah, he thinks it's between you and him.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I a selfie guy?
I didn't even know that was a thing people did.
Am I shirtless like Sprague all the time? Sprague's looking for excuses to photograph himself shirtless.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
You can vote at 1080thefan.com.
That you're embarrassed that you're taking a selfie, so you're pretending that you're not.
But you really want
to
take one.
But Sprague doesn't seem embarrassed to take selfies if he's shirtless all the time.
Now
right?
You're thinking through it. You just cast your vote there, Mike, and we'll issue the results tomorrow.
Okay.
There are two things that are going on at the station, which we need to tell you about. One is a lot of people have been asking about the 8th annual Fan Golf Classic.
Yeah.
And we have officially made a decision there. I say we, our higher ups.
Yeah, you had nothing to do with this.
I got an email. I did get an email about it.
Did you respond to said email?
Oh, God, no.
No.
And it has been determined that the 8th annual Fan Golf Classic will be postponed.
Yeah.
Until 2021.
There you go. And that's pretty much every concert and event that's happening. Postpone means, well, no one wants to say cancel.
It's canceled for this year.
It's canceled for this year.
We're not doing it this year.
No, we'll pick it up next year, but it's not happening.
Yeah, so that's due to safety issues. We got a punt. I do need to tell you, though, that Langdon Farms, where we hosted, is always a great host, best host in town. They are open.
Yep.
You can play golf out there. You can actually, their restaurant is open now, and the bar is open too. So it's all open out there at Langdon.
All right.
Next thing, we have a new fan text code.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I don't understand why, but we do. So just roll with
it. I can tell you why. One word.
Okay.
Corporate.
Aha!
Corporate.
Yes.
So
55305 is no more.
Well, you can use 55305, but it's going to go away in a couple of days. And you'll obviously notice when it's no longer effective. But right now it works. We want you to put this in your phone. It's as easy as a quick save to the contacts. Replace 55305 if you text our show at all with 503-250-1080.
Which is the actual station phone number that if yes. we did take phone calls, which we don't, but if we did, that's the number you would call
well, I feel like
and text.
Even though nobody on this station takes calls, which come on, like one show can't take calls?
I feel like we're directly responsible for that.
100%.
I feel like we killed that.
But I think those guys, you know, on the other shows, I think they should take a lot of calls. Just not us.
All calls all day.
But I think that we have said the phone number enough, whether it be contesting or Canyon to Manfield or whatever, that you P1s probably know that number anyway. But we're just going to make it the same numbers to either call or
text.
To text. So again, the new text code to text the fan text line is 503-250-1080. Just do a quick save into the contacts and you should be all set there.
Now, we have the text program. It's the easiest way to get a hold of the show. We have it up live and we can't get to all of them, but you know, obviously you can't respond to a ton of them, but we see almost all of them, but like you kind of see it sometimes in glimpses. You just have it up in the background. And like I saw this guy just said, got laid off today. And all I saw when I looked to the right was got laid today. And I was like, all right, thanks for telling me. And I was got ready to give him like a way to go. And I was like, oh, you got laid off today. So to the guy that got laid off today and got home and was bored.
Bored.
Yeah. He said he looked up the scoreboard app. He's betting on darts. So and table tennis.
That a baby.
So sorry you got laid off. I hope you get laid as well. And good luck on the darts and the table tennis.
He says he's on a heater.
Yeah.
He's up a couple grand.
Yeah. Betting on darts and table tennis.
Who needs a job?
Well, gambling's a job for some people.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he can become a professional gambler. Well, I'm sorry about that guy's job.
Yeah.
Somebody else says they are already feeling nostalgic for 55305.
I know. Well, it's working for a day or two, right?
Rest in peace. I think it ends June 1.
Okay.
So a couple days. 55305 will be a thing of the past.
Yes. But
it will be the fan history books.
The new era. The era has become.
The era has become.
Of 503-250-1080.
Damn right.
The era has become.
Hell all right. Yeah. So there are the things that we had to get out of the way. Now let's talk some sports. Is the Blazers season over? We'll tell you next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA bro.
Yeah, the Woj bombs.
Yeah, he's dropping bombs today.
Does anyone not know Woj?
I don't know. Probably. There's always somebody, man.
Yeah, but if you're an NBA fan, you know Woj.
Bro.
Well, he is dropping his news bombs today.
Yeah.
Telling us a couple of things. One, that the NBA has yet to formally rule out anything.
Yeah.
But the idea of bringing all 30 teams back to complete the season is losing considerable steam.
Yeah. Again, we've known this for a while. Golden State was one of many teams that have basically come out and say, we have no interest in playing. And for a lot of those teams, coming back and playing games, you'd lose money. Like, you're not going to play them in your own home arena. And so there's no sense in travel costs and all that and rolling guys out.
I think it's pretty much set to go into Orlando.
Yeah, it's not a money-making opportunity there. So you have nothing to play for. I can't imagine the guys that are on those teams, the bottom feeders. Are you telling me that those guys are in any kind of shape or have been taking this seriously? There's just no sense whatsoever. And hockey said this too. There's no sense in bringing any of those teams back.
Okay, so that we talked a little bit about that yesterday. Now, Woj is saying that this Thursday, Commissioner Adam Silver will get on a call with GMs.
Yeah.
You know,
And they will discuss variations of plans that include a play-in tournament, pool play bracketing, and regular season games moving into the playoffs. So they really, and they've got a board of governors that will eventually vote on it. So what they're apparently targeting is to return on July 22nd. How they're going to return, it's going to be in Orlando in their own bubble. Woj reporting that some family members could be allowed to be there. Rosters could be pared down for obvious reasons. But the big thing is that the Blazers would likely be a participant. The latest scuttlebutt, and Mark Cuban was alluding to this too, is that they would have a playoffs plus idea.
Yeah.
That includes 20 to 24 teams, including more teams from the West than the East, because there are more teams in the West that are still alive.
Yeah, like if you get to the 7 and 8 seed in the East, you're already dealing with the Nets as the 7 seed. By the way, no Kyrie Irving, no Kevin Durant.
They're 4 games under 500.
Yeah, they're 4 games under 500. And so you get into the 8 seed, you're 5 games, and then you go down into the 9 and 10. You're talking about 24 and 40 and 23 and 42, the Wizards and Hornets. Now, you get to the, you know, the 9-10 spot in the West, not that your record is great by any stretch of the imagination.
Records are horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the weird part. Like, there's this idea out there that Portland somehow would get robbed if the season were to end. Portland is 29-37. So
yeah, but they're getting healthy.
They are.
Come on,
but,
man.
But at the same time, and look, most of the people, like you said, they're you're gonna get to play, right? They're going to.
They'll be a part of it.
They will be a part of it. But this idea that somehow if they came back and just said, look, we're taking the 8 teams from each conference and we're doing this. The idea that somehow Portland is getting jobbed at 29 and you're 8 games below 500. Shut up. And Lillard, to Lillard's credit, he was on with who did I see him on today? He was on like a podcast, and I forget who it was with, but I saw it today.
No clue, bro.
I was listening to the clip today, and
Mike can't help you either.
And Lillard even said as much. Lillard said that at this point we have not earned the right. I'm paraphrasing. He said we have not earned the right to be in the playoffs. He said with our record, you know, we haven't proven that we're a playoff team. So at least to Lillard's credit,
playoffs.
While he knows that this team being playoffs. Healthy could be a dangerous team, he also knows that at 29-37, you've done jack squat to demand your way into the postseason.
I have a feeling there's only one player and one player alone that's going to allow these teams to actually be there.
Yep.
And that's Zion.
No question.
The fact that Zion is on a team that's in the hunt, quote unquote, is why they're extending an invite to the 4 teams.
No question.
Not named the Pelicans.
Well,
or the 3 teams on it would be,
there's have, 2 things
you'd
here.
Have the Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Kings,
and
that
the
are
Spurs.
All,
and the Spurs.
That would all be within, well, I mean, then if you wanted to go, if Phoenix is only a game behind San Antonio.
No. They're already talking about drawing the line at the Spurs.
Yeah, the Spurs were the line.
So it's those 4 teams. So the top 8 in the West, number 7 is Dallas, number 8 is Memphis.
Yeah.
They would be there, but then they're going to invite the next 4 in the West because they're all so close. Yeah. Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio.
Yeah, 2 games separate those 4, and then there's a 3.5 gap between the Blazers and Memphis.
That, of course, is Mike is exactly right. Yeah. That is all about Zion Williamson, and it's all about capitalizing. I don't know what format they would put that in, but I think it's all about capitalizing some excitement for those teams to play off, to have the right to get into the playoffs.
Well,
and I don't know how they're going to structure that.
Exactly. I'd be pissed.
They might just be in the playoffs.
Well, that's
like they just might be playoff teams.
It's possible.
Yeah, that's possible.
And then I've heard the two that there might be just you break up the West and the East, and it's just not. You just take the 20 teams and you go simply off record, and you know, you pair it up. One plays 20 and so on. But like if you did a play-in tournament, Dallas can't be in. Dallas is 40-27. Dallas is good. You get to Memphis and you're talking about teams that are below 500. I could see a scenario where you did Memphis, Portland, the Pellies, the Kings, and the Spurs, and you did like a round robin sort of thing. And, you know, whether you came back and you played a handful of games, quote, regular season games, you had a round robin sort of thing, and the team with the best record in there finds their way into the 8 spot or whatever if you wanted to extend the playoffs.
I think if you're a Memphis fan, then you probably feel pretty jobbed by that because you have a 3.5 game lead. So how is a round robin against some of those teams going to really make a difference?
At least with Memphis, you can say you're sub 500 shut up. That's the only argument, but Dallas shouldn't be included in that. There is a huge line of demarcation between the Mavericks at 7 and everyone else from the Grizzlies down to the Spurs or the Suns.
I agree with that.
And the East, you know, zip it. There's no one. But the 7 and 8 seed, if we had our druthers, they would be eliminated from the postseason. No one wants to see Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant less Brooklyn Nets out there playing. Well, and then the Magic.
If you look at the standings, which you probably haven't done in a while, there are 13 good teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
And that goes all the way down to the Sixers, who are the 6th seed in the East, and the Mavericks, who are the 7th seed in the West. Those 13 teams are good. They have good records. You want to see them in the playoffs. They're deserving. Then you have 7 more teams, including the 4 in the West we just talked about, Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, and Spurs, who are just not very good. But because they take 16 teams in the playoffs, they're in position. That would be Brooklyn, Orlando, Memphis, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio.
And I would say that if I had to put my money on one of the also-rans being able to make some noise in the postseason, it might be Portland.
Well, they're getting healthier.
Healthy, and something tells me that, you know, a guy like Lillard is probably staying a little more prepared than some.
I agree with that. Weren't the Pelicans kind of getting it together?
Yeah, the Pelicans had it together a little bit.
Before, I mean, their record sucks, but Zion was hurt for a while. And so I feel like they're dangerous, too. I don't know what's going on with the Spurs. They're weird this year. They have good players, but they're just not any good. I agree with you. I think Lillard has his eye on being able to sneak up on people. He said as much.
Yeah.
So, if the Blazers are doing their stuff behind the scenes, I think they could be dangerous. Now, which would you rather have if you're a fan or if you're the team? Would you rather be tossed straight into the playoffs? And then you're going to be getting, you know, a Clippers or a Denver.
I don't think you can.
Or would you rather have an exciting average team playoff?
I will tell you that if you
for the right to play the Lakers,
if you want the best opportunity to have an upset, throw them in right away. I think that's your best bet, is to just
come off the and
see what happens.
Off the COVID stuff,
and just you come out getting loose out of the tall grass, right? You just come out swinging and hope something happens, because who the hell knows what kind of shape anyone's going to be in. I think the basketball coming back could be horrific. Like, we just
could be.
Well, we've talked about this, right? There was the article where most of these guys don't have hoops. There's guys that said they hadn't shot a basketball in 2 months. And we're going to be like, okay, give you 2-3 weeks. And then here you go again. You could have pulled hammies and torn groins and bad backs. And God knows what happens to your jump shot. So yeah, if you're one of the also-rans, the Blazers or the Pellies or whoever, I just assume as quick as possible, take a swing at the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nuggets, or whatever, and just kind of see what happens.
So let's take a break. And then when we come back, Mark Cuban has an idea about how to structure all this. It's a little more specific, and he has pitched it to the NBA, but it sounds like the NBA they aren't far enough down this road yet to have decided on any of this. They're just considering it. Cuban's got an interesting idea, and it would include the Blazers. So we'll get to that and what he is saying coming up next. 3:45 on The Fan.
Hell no.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's Mark Cuban's idea. Now, his plan that he has pitched to the NBA includes all 30 teams. So he's saying, come back, play in Orlando in the bubble, and you finish out, you play 5 to 7 regular season games to finish out local TV contracts.
Yeah, because there is a minimum number that you have to have in order to fulfill that, and then you don't have to give any money back. And, you know, with the billions of dollars that's lost across sports, you know, no one's interested in hemorrhaging more money. And by the way, you could do something with that in order to, I don't know if you wanted to figure out the seeding or if, you know, just who gets in.
Then the top 10 teams in each conference would qualify for the postseason, and they would be reseeded based on record.
Yeah. And this is
top 10.
So you throw out the East and West.
Yep.
It just gets.
Yep. And if you want to know what that looks like before I continue on, Milwaukee currently would be the 1 seed, Lakers 2, Raptors 3, Clippers would be the 4.
Yeah.
Celtics 5, Nuggets 6, Jazz 7. The Blazers in this scenario would be 17. They are currently tied with the Pelicans and Kings. So then he says,
So they would get the third seed? They'd get the Raptors then, right?
Well, no. So he says there would then be two play-in matchups.
Okay.
The number 17 against the number 20 and the number 18 versus the number 19 seeds. The winners of those games via either single games or best of three series would advance to play the 15 and 16 seeds respectively for the final playoff spot in each bracket. So he's got some, in other words, look, these are all kind of crappy teams. He's got some drama there for you because those regular season games coming back will suck. It's just getting everybody back up to speed, right?
Yes.
Then five again, to seven games.
No one blows anything out.
And then you get some fun games where teams are really pushing to try to get in and get into the playoffs. If the Blazers were to win that, you know, like they're the 17, let's say they get the 17 seed, they would play the 20, which would be at this point the Spurs, right?
Yeah.
The winner of that goes on to play Memphis. They beat Memphis. Then they're the 8 seed. And then if they're the 15 or 16 seed, depending on the record. And then they would play either the Lakers or the Bucks. So you would at least have some games where it's exciting and you're fighting for something before you get your ass kicked in a seven game series.
Look, I think this is intriguing, right? I mean, I know it's going to be weird, and you know, I know Barkley and it wasn't Barkley, it was Shaq that talked about, you know, do you put an asterisk and you don't count this? It's going to be interesting. It'll be weird. It's going to be strange, and I don't know how all this is going to go or how we're going to view the champion when this is all said and done. But everyone wants to see it conclude, and it's a one off, right? And
right.
Maybe from this you take some ideas. There have been some talk of reseeding the playoffs now for a number of years, right? So if this ends up being interesting, maybe it's something you could adopt. I'd be all for eliminating conferences and just doing a reseeding, not 20 teams in. I think already sometimes we allow too many teams into the postseason. Like no one needs to see the 7 and 8 seed in the East in there. But I'd be all for a reseeding sort of thing. And that way we're in theory trying to get the best two teams regardless of conference playing in the NBA finals.
Well, at this point, the 8th seed in the East is better than the 8th seed in the West. In this scenario, in other words, the Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, and Spurs are all worse than the Magic.
Yes.
So it's equally bad in the West this year, but yes, this does give you an opportunity to toy with ideas.
Yeah.
And that could also lead to, you know, when the season starts, right? Then Christmas, if they start up again for next season by Christmas. And so they can toy with a lot of stuff here. And I think it's, again, anything's better than nothing.
Sure.
In my opinion.
And by the way, everyone, the scenarios are all planning late July, early August. You know, everyone keeps saying, well, you know,
July 22 is what they said.
Yeah. By the time this thing gets figured out, again, I wouldn't count on anything before August 1st. Right? These dates, nothing has been agreed to. And even the NHL, which came out yesterday with their proposal, that is still lacking in huge details, right? In the NBA proposal, we still don't know how you're going to deal with family. Are players going to be allowed out of the bubble ever? And if they're not out of the bubble, what does that do with, you know, again, family members and kids? The PR lady for the NFL or the NBA Players Association came out and said that she was asked 1 to 10, your optimism level. And she said 6. She said a week ago it would have been 8, but she said that you're hearing from a lot of players now that are concerned now with kids picking up the coronavirus and some of the damage that it's been, you know, that's maybe not even death, but long-term health implications of little kids getting it. And that could be a concern with a lot of players where it's no longer just one of this, well, hey, we're young and healthy. They're concerned about bringing it home to mom and baby or mom and little kid. So when the PR person for the NBA says that she's at a 6, again, I think we're all excited for it to come back. I think we're all hopeful it's going to come back, but there's not a guarantee that it does. And certainly not on some arbitrary timeline. I'm of the idea that if any of this comes back, I still think we're getting into August before we see Major League Baseball, the NHL, or the NBA, which is going to be weird because then you're going to get everything all at once. You're going to get the start of the NFL season, maybe college football, and then all these other sports finishing up, and then you're still going to have golf and NASCAR and all that.
Hell yeah.
You could be in a sports nirvana at the end of the end of the year.
Well, that's what we were hoping for, right?
Yeah.
Is it push everything to the fall and then it's just a magical fall of sport.
It's gonna be overwhelming.
I know. What do?
Well, you watch golf.
Clearly, right?
Baseball.
You watch baseball. Oh, and golf.
Well,
in the NFL.
Well, again, could anything, if the NFL and college football comes
NBA
back,
NBA might be lower on that list.
Exactly. Like,
yeah, but it's the playoffs.
Would the NBA playoffs, like if it went head to head on a Monday night, what would it do against the NFL? Nothing has challenged the NFL. Well, maybe at the start of the NFL season, you get like good matchups.
Lakers, Bucks?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm flipping back and forth.
Yeah. I'd just be interested to see if regular season early NFL, like weeks 2 and 3.
But that Jaguars-Redskins game would be really interesting.
No, but if you had, you know, let's say the Ravens-Chiefs or something, could the Lakers and Bucks playoff game take down a regular season matchup of Mahomes and Jackson?
Hell no.
I don't think so. No, nothing beats the NFL.
The NFL is just that powerful.
The NFL could have an average matchup and still beat a playoff game between the Lakers and the Bucks.
Quarantine question of the day on the fan text line. Who's most likely to have been on the Sean Kemp training regimen?
The Raymond Feltons of the world.
That's a great question.
It's going to be a big, right?
It's probably Jokic. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Jokic is going to come back fatter than hell.
Well, isn't he already? I mean,
yeah. He is.
Is he fat? Yes.
You'd call him fat?
He is fat. He is not like Zach Randolph got called fat and he wasn't. Zach Randolph was just not like defined as most NBA players.
Well, that's what I think of you.
No.
Is Jokic?
He is fat.
I don't know, man.
No.
Do not just look up pictures of Jokic because he's been thinner this season. Look
he's
up 2020
fat.
Jokic.
Yes. Okay.
He's
2020.
Like, he's grinding out there.
Remember when Nurkic got here in Portland? He was fat, but he's turned a corner and is like in shape now.
Our definitions of fat are two different things.
Really?
But I get what you're saying. But
look, I understand that, like, you know,
you're talking about high level athlete fat.
Yes.
He certainly is high level athlete fat.
Yes.
But to me, like, you just saw him on the street, you wouldn't think he's fat. But yeah, for like a high level basketball
You're talking about
player?
One of the best players in the league.
Yeah. All right. You want to go that route?
All I'm saying is that if he actually cared about getting in shape, how much better could he be?
He would be, oh, I don't know.
Because he's already freaky athletic.
Dude, he's so good, though.
He is amazing. And imagine if he actually like put down a cheeseburger and got on a...
Would he be like the Greek freak?
But, Suk, cheeseburgers are delicious.
They really are delicious. And I'd like to believe that someone tries to tell him that and he goes, I'm already one of the 7 or 8 best players in the NBA. F you, right? Yeah, I'm not doing this.
Probably.
Give me my cheeseburger. Dude, that guy is so much, he's so much fun to watch. But if I had to put on odds on the best player, because someone at the end of the bench, dude, there'll be someone like that just is fat and hasn't given a rip. But of the marquee players...
Is Raymond Felton still playing?
Yeah, Felton's still playing.
There you go.
But of the marquee guys that are going to be on the Sean Kemp program, it's Jokic, right? And it's not even close.
Oh, I think it... I don't know. There will be guys that will surprise... That probably won't surprise you, but you just can't think of them right now. Like, you're right. It's the bigs.
You're like, whoa.
Like, whoa. Andre Drummond. Good heavens.
What happened there?
Oh, I saw he tipped $1,000 on a $165 bill the other night. Did you see that?
No.
Cool, dude. How cool is that?
That is cool.
That's freaking great, man. Yeah. Take care of the restaurant workers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just rapidly going through the players in my head trying to think of who else would be coming back fat.
Wouldn't it be the best
put together a list.
Wouldn't it be best if, like, LeBron came back and he was all just pudgy?
And he's dominated. It's like, God, LeBron, why weren't you fat all along?
Maybe Chris Paul.
He comes
what about
back.
Harden? Isn't Harden a candidate to be?
No, have you seen him?
No.
Dude, that guy.
Is he ripped up?
Well, they showed him. He was like running hills. I saw it on Instagram or Twitter on one of those.
Whoa.
One, he hasn't had a haircut. So he looks homeless. Like the beard and the hair are out of control. But no, he's
Did
super.
Did you see the Russell Westbrook video?
No.
Someone's making fun of him for not having his haircut. Like it looks bad. And he just yells out. F you to the camera, just screams it at the top of his lungs. It's a great video.
Harden is like really skinny. Like he looks like he's dropped weight. And by the way, we are missing the number one candidate. It's not Jokic. We're missing this. You need to think about this.
Okay. So is it a big?
He's a big, kinda. We just were talking about this is the reason why they're extending the playoffs.
Zion.
Oh yeah.
I can totally see him coming back at 310, Robert Tractor Trailer style. That's the one. Because let's be honest, he's athletic, but he's a little, you know.
What about LaMarcia? He might come back a little pudgy.
Really?
Yeah, he's old now. Doesn't care as much. His team sucks. You know?
Did he ever really care?
I think he had his moments. His moments. People got under his skin. Like, remember those two 40-point games he put together against the Rockets?
Oh, yeah.
He was, that was damn, that was like the highlight of his career.
Yeah, he got all pissed.
So yeah, Damian Lillard stole it from him by hitting the game-winning shot.
Well, then the freaking coach, McHale, woke up and put somebody else on him.
Yeah.
But
some people are saying Kevin Love. Kevin Love's been in shape
for
a
long time. He's been in shape.
Yeah, but the Cavs aren't going to be playing, so.
That's true. No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Maybe Anthony Davis. But maybe not, because LeBron will kick his ass.
Yeah. The Lakers,
he'll shame him.
LeBron
knows.
A lot
of Taco Tuesdays for LeBron without playing.
LeBron knows that this is his best chance to win a title, and he needs this. Now, LeBron and the Lakers will come back in shape.
Well, it really is like a crapshoot, right? Like, you start watching this, we haven't seen any of these guys for months. It's like, what if the Blazers just roll out all fat and tubby? And you're like, oh my God, is that CJ McCollum? You know, like, you don't know. You don't know what you're doing. You hope that they're staying in shape, but you don't know.
No. I mean, that's, I think the idea, and this got was kind of went along with the guys not having hoops, right? There's this idea out there, because I saw Kirk Cousins, who, you know, Kirk Cousins has 100 and whatever million dollars. I saw a video of Kirk Cousins working out in his driveway, and there was an interview with him. I think it was on ESPN or E60 on one of those. And he was talking about trying to get equipment at his home. And his point was, dude, none of us have workout equipment. He goes, we all go to facilities, or we have training places that we go to in the off season. This idea that all these pro athletes have these great home gyms is just, it's just not true. So, like, the NFL teams, I think we're allowed to send like $1,500 worth of exercise equipment to players. And so they were trying to get him some kettlebells and barbells and stuff. But Cousins, like, I have a better home workout situation than Kirk Cousins had. And that guy's got $180 million. And they're like, dude, they're doing like P90X videos and pushups. And, you know, it's just like, hey, we're doing the very best we can. So this idea that across the board, NBA guys or NFL guys are going to be in shape, you have no idea. No clue what every guy's been up to.
Absolute crapshoot.
And I think what each guy has had access to.
What about Melo?
Is going to be varied. Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah. He could be all fat and then just retire. It's like, you know what? Forget it.
Someone said Lonzo Ball. Have you seen the video of Lonzo Ball lifting?
No.
There is a.
I don't watch lifting videos.
Well, it's just, again, they just make the rounds like
on. I think I actively avoid lifting videos.
Yeah. Why are people watching people lifting?
No, these things are just like, you see them on Twitter and, like, you know, people post these because, again, if you work out during the COVID crisis and you're not videotaping, and then it didn't really happen. But they show, there's a video of Lonzo Ball, and he's working out with the world's worst weight set. It's like something you would have in your garage from when you were like 12 years old. It's like plastic weights, but he's in there lifting, and it's just beyond awkward. And it's just, and it's not like in a gym or anything. It's just like in a spare bedroom in his home.
Hey,
like
all the money went to Big Baller Brand.
Yeah, there's like a ceiling fan in there, and he's like with his cousin, and they're both shirtless, and they're yelling. It's really, really awkward.
Is that the one, there's a ceiling fan up
there? Yeah, there's a ceiling fan.
I'm watching
it. Look at that weight set.
Yeah, that he looks good, though. He looks like he's in shape.
Yeah, he's in shape. But
seems to be working.
It's just this really awkward kind of thing where you're like, you would think that there's better access for a guy like Lonzo Ball, and it's not.
Well, let's be honest. NBA guys don't lift all that much anyway.
No.
You know.
Well, again, he's yelling and screaming. He's lifting like 80 pounds. He's like, ah!
Hey, everyone has a different level, Sook. We all can't be you.
Yeah. He's like, manly!
We all can't be Big Sook. I'd scream and yell if I lifted 80 pounds.
Come on. I've seen the push-ups, Rob. You know you're an Adonis.
All right, should we break, you guys?
Probably.
Yeah, break, you guys.
A little long.
Up next, are athletes essential workers? 4:04 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.